Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Tony with Lighthouse Team Ministries.
The old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again as we open your word, we ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can accept this, your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We started this morning with Acts chapter 2. And we didn't get all the way through it. He took us to a couple other places, which he does quite a bit every now and then. But I want to finish it up because we are studying about the first century church and the church today and the difference in them. And if we can get more of mankind to really understand the early church, we'll see a lot more people saved because they were strong in the word of Almighty God and they dealt with the truth of His word. Churches, they are not doing it. So many of them, they are going against so much of God's word that, and a lot of them, I mean, is real too. As I was telling them this morning, we got ladies in our churches, they're not supposed to be there. The ladies are not dressing today, no ways near like they should be dressing. But the men are just as bad. We got a lot of your ministers today, and you see them even on TV, where there's millions seeing them. It's got long hair like a woman. They're told that it's a sin for them to have long hair. They're supposed to cut their hair. In fact, he tells us, actually, that it's better if we shave our head. Of course, now I'll tell you, you take 25, 30 of us get together out in the sunshine, looking like Kenny looks, and we blind a lot of people. You got to pick on somebody. But anyway, we need to see how things were. Now, they were having problems in their church because the people there in Israel was not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we are not accepting the Lord Jesus now either. And so, therefore, we know the things are just not right. Because if they were, we'd see more of God's work in our churches. We're not seeing no power of God in our churches today. None. Now you get a few churches that you'll see the speaker get up there and he'll stand, jump up and down. Or he'll run around circles. Or he'll run back and forth across the stage. He might jump two or three steps. Down among the crowd, run all around the room. And claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's making him do it. But yet he won't be in the Word of God. He'll be teaching contrary to that Word. We are just like Paul was in his day. Paul had followers that followed him, just trying to keep cutting him down. To undo everything he would do, they were trying to undo and bring the people down from following Jesus to putting them back under the law. Today, our churches are trying to put them back under the law without even knowing that's what they're doing. But when you've got a church that's teaching you that you can't live your life without sin, you're just going to sin all your life, but God will just keep forgiving you. You go out here and steal something today. You go tonight, ask God to forgive you, he will. Tomorrow you go steal something else. Go back to God, ask him to forgive you, he will. This is things they're teaching. That's just an example. But they are teaching you to do this. Now, that's all wrong. Because if you are a born-again child of the living God, you don't commit sin. We found that out this morning. I read it right out of God's Word. If you are living that kind of life, that would take you right back under the law, because that's what they had under the law. That's why God wasn't pleased with it and wanted it fulfilled. And that's the reason Jesus came, was to give you and I a better way. Actually, we have really got an easy way of becoming a child of God. But it depends on what you will accept and where you will put your mind. And and what you are willing to do. How hard are you really willing to work for God? Are you willing to give him your life? Most don't. They don't even know anything about it because they sit in church meeting after meeting and never be taught anything about the right way to do it and to do things. Now, we're going to get back in here with verse 19 now, or verse 22 rather. We just finished with 19, 20, and 21. We're going to be picking up with verse 22. We are still in, actually, the sermon of Peter when he came out of the upper room. And 22 says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Now we know about all miracles, the wonderful things he did while he was here on earth. But those same things are supposed to be in our church today. For that. It's because we cannot get enough men today to walk strong enough in faith and accept God's word and work to bring it about. But as I was telling you before services began, this ministry is about to have something happen. I don't know yet what it is. I don't know when it's coming. I don't know how it's coming. I don't even know who will be bringing it in, whether it be me, Kenny, Dennis, or somebody else. But there's something coming. When he starts waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and having me for 45 minutes to pray in an unknown tongue and in English too, something's going to change. I do know it'll be stronger. Whatever it is, it's going to be more for God than what's going on. Yeah. Now, here in 23, Stella says, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Here this man, Peter, as I made plain this morning, but once again, by being here, we're going to hit it again. This man, a man that was so afraid when they took Jesus there in Jerusalem to try him, he denied three times one night. Now he's preaching to the same people here. And he's got a good crowd here. There's several thousand of them. Not a small group. And he's pointing his finger straight at them. And he's told them here, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. He ain't pulling no punches at all. He's standing bold. And that's what we've got to do today, to stand boldly and proclaim the truth of God's word, regardless of what anyone else thinks. I'm not out to please mankind. I'm out to please God and to do what the Lord wants me to do with this ministry. Because this ministry is not mine. It's His. He just sent me here as an overseer. I'm here as a leader and an overseer. But it's His. Because if it wasn't His, we wouldn't need it. Because it would be no good. Now, 24. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. We know that Jesus walked this earth 33 and a half years. 30 years of it, he walked this earth as a man. He worked as a carpenter. Yet he's also showing you and I, as we study about his life, he was strictly in the flesh, and yet for that 30 years, he did not have any sin in his life. Showing you and I, it can be done. You say, yeah, but he was God's son. No, that 30 years, he didn't have the Holy Spirit even. Jesus was not filled with the Holy Spirit until he was baptized at 30 years of age by John. And that's when the Holy Spirit came to be within him, and it came as the form of a dove. It's all in the book. You can go back and read where he was baptized by John, and it's all there. Man don't want to accept it. 25. For David speaketh concerning him. Then he said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. We're not to be moved away from him. We are to stand strong and strong on his word, for Satan can't get us and pull us away. 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. He's giving us some pretty good things there to rejoice about. 27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Just as with Jesus. What a lot of mankind don't understand is when they put Jesus in that tomb, his body was in that tomb, but he wasn't. He went to hell. And he went to hell so you and I wouldn't have to. And he went to hell and spoke with them there. And he also was victor over Satan and took the keys to hell away from Satan. It's all in the book. Man don't want to. You see, we're going against so much that God has given us. And yet we're walking contrary to it. They'll tell you, they're telling us today, it don't matter how you're baptized. We got a lot of them that'll tell you, you don't even have to be baptized. There was one on just the other day that was proclaiming the baptism had nothing to do with sin. Well, we covered all that this morning, so I'm not going to get back into a lot of that. But we found out none of that was so. Baptism is part of the salvation plan that we have to fulfill. And there is a certain way to do it. Now, they say, yeah, but you know there in Matthew, Jesus was sending his disciples out and he was telling them to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, I know he was. But I also know why. Because, you see, at that time, he had not finished paying for you and I. And they were operating according to the law and yet getting people ready for what was about to take place. So they was to do things as God had commanded mankind to do under the law. That law was not fulfilled until Jesus died and was resurrected. He fulfilled most of the law. All time he taught. 3.5 years is what his ministry lasted. Up until the church age started on the day of Pentecost, they were all going by the law. But you see, Jesus pays it all. He paid for everything. There's nothing you and I can buy at all. We can't make ourselves righteousness. We can't save ourselves. We can't take money and buy it. We're guided in all these things. We are to use God's money and be stewards of it and use it for the right things and the right way. He didn't tell me he'd make me rich. Money-wise. Yes, I'm rich. I'm richer than the greatest millionaire or billionaire we got living today. I'm richer than he is. Because he is not a child of God. That's a fact. My treasures are laid up in heaven waiting for me. I have been given eternal life. That's worth more than all the money in the world. I'm not going to have to spend eternity in a lake of fire in pain and no way to ever get out of it. I can't speak for nobody but me. I sure don't want it. I go through enough here. But he doesn't tell us we won't have to go through trials and tribulation. He tells us just the opposite. He tells us that we're going to be persecuted. We're going to go through trials and troubles. He said, because if they've done it to me, they're going to do it to you. Well, we know all they've done to him. He also tells you and I that we need to be ready to lay down our lives. But how many are? How many really are ready to lay down their lives so the word continue going out and others being saved? No, no. But you see, we got to get to that point. We got to get to the point of wanting to be with him. But we also have to look at God and say, Father, The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. You need more workers. Here I am. Use me, Father. Use me greatly according to your will and your way. Not mine, but your will and your way. Just as Jesus prayed when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's on his knees at that rock of praying, and he ended his prayer. He was weeping, crying, and sweating. Said he was sweating drops as if they were blood. And he asked the Father, he said, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. But then he ended his prayer, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And he went on and took that cup and took my sins, my sicknesses, your sicknesses, our diseases, to the cross. And even on the cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you see, God couldn't look on him. Because he had all of your sins and my sins. They weren't his, they were ours. And God don't look on sin like that. These are things we need to know and to really have in our hearts what this man really did do for us. Now, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. We know David's gone. We know that Jesus comes from the line of David, because that was the lineage of Mary and Joseph both. Now, 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had swore with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. This had been prophesied way back in Isaiah, Jeremiah. Even Moses had spoke about it. They didn't get to see this promise, but you and I did. And those back even 2,000 years back got to see that promise when Jesus came to walk on this earth. God does not make a covenant and a promise that he don't keep. Mankind never learns how to receive what has already been done and given to him. Think about that. Your healing has already been given to you. It was given to you 2,000 years back when Jesus took it to the cross. It says, by his stripes you are healed. But it's us learning how to accept it. Now down through the years even, walking according to the calling that I've been walking in, there were things I did not know and things I was not doing until this came upon me. And as I've told you all before, I've learned a whole lot. And do I blame God for it? No. But I have not went through it by myself either. He's always been right there with me. If he hadn't have been while I was going through this, there's no way in the world I could have been preaching these sermons. None. No way at all. I didn't go to seminary to learn how to preach. To me, they're not seminaries, they're cemeteries. They come out preaching about a God they don't know and teaching things contrary to the Word of God. Now, 31. He saying this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. We know that. We know that on the third day, he was back at the body. God raised him. He arose on that Sunday morning. He says here in 32, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Well, they were. Now, we know that the 12 of us, we also know that they was more seeing Jesus actually arose than just those 12 disciples. For a long time, I thought that's all seen. He was seen by over 500 all at once. The Word tells us that. Now, 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. He said, you're seeing it now, and you're hearing it. And this he was talking about had been prophesied 430 years before. We go to God and ask him for something. If we don't get it right that minute, oh, well, he ain't answering me. He ain't going to answer me. And, you know, well, I don't guess I'm worthy of it. Something's wrong somewhere. No. God don't work on our time. He works on his time. Just like he has been with me. He's been with me through all of this that I've been going through. I know he's with me. I know he's going through it with me. And I know when it gets time and he wants it done, I won't have to go through it no more. It'll all be over. That's why I can still sit here and teach and rejoice. And at night I can sit here even by myself, lift up my hands to him and praise his holy name and give him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, because it's all his. And I can sit and laugh because I've got joy inside. I've got his joy. Now, 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. He's talking about Jesus here, sitting at the right hand of God. Because God had told him he was going to give him David's office. Now, 35, He says, set thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. There's a day coming when all of those who will not accept him is going to meet their maker. And they're going to hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. And they're going to find themselves in hell with Satan and his demons. While the children of God is going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, once he comes and gets the church, those that are ready is going to go and be with him for a short period of time. When I say a short period of time, we're talking probably less than 7 years. But at the most, it would be 7 years. Then we're coming back with him to the earth while he sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. He's going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right here on this earth. And with us and our help and all of those that are of his family will be helping him through that 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, the great white throne judgment is going to happen. Mankind can't get out of it. It's going to take place. And all that are not found to be his, Satan, his demons, and all that are lost, and hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and the worm never dies. You know, he's calling you and I a worm. When we don't walk with him, mankind is out here in evil. He's a worm. He called Jacob a worm. It's right here in the book. And no way out of that lake of fire ever. You're going to go through that kind of pain and punishment forever. That's why we don't need to be out here playing around. We need to get right, get straight, because we all have work to do. Every one of us is supposed to be trying to get everyone we meet, everyone we know, especially those that are the closest to us, into church. Now, everybody can't go to the same church. We know that. We understand that. But here, if they would like to sit under the ministry, they can, because they can call in. They can call in and sit and listen to it as we're teaching. That's exactly what this is all about. Now, Kenny's got to set up now where we're going to be on YouTube. They'll not only hear me, they can see me. It's giving us another way to reach more of mankind. Now, 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know that surely that God has made that same Jesus who you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. These same people he was hiding from 40 days earlier, he's pointing an accused finger at them, telling them. And at the end of his message, this is what's happened. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? this message you and I have just been sitting here going over, one of the greatest sermons ever preached, now has reached the heart of these people. And they've asked them, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I thought it could, I could be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. No. In Jesus' name. Because, for one, I've got to put on him. I've got to put on his death and his resurrection.
No, no, you don't need to be baptized. It's just symbolic.
No, yeah, that's just symbolic.
That's what that preacher told me that time.
Oh, yes. A lot of them out there.
You don't need that. Come on.
A lot of them out there telling them that. Now, but the sixth chapter of Romans tells them what baptism is all about. Tells them exactly what happens when you're baptized rightly. About being buried with Christ. Being raised in his resurrection. You're putting him on. Now, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of them want to tell you all this will take place at one time. That's not necessarily so. It can all happen at one time, yes. It can do it. But I've only seen it done one time in all the years I've been in the ministry. Or got it all at one time. And as we go through the book of Acts, you're going to find out the truth about it. It don't always happen all at the same time. Now, he goes on here in 39, he says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In other words, it's there for everybody. Mankind makes a choice. We all make a choice whether we're going to serve him or serve Satan. 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Well, you don't save yourselves, but you make the choice that you're going to go to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. You're going to put him on. And then you are going to start seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, as I said, God knows all about each one of us. He knows how stubborn we are. He knows when we can accept something and when we won't. He won't give you anything you're not going to use. But that's why a lot of them got the idea, I'm not worthy. Hey, none of us worthy. He don't do it because we're worthy. He does it because he loves us. And we do the things we are told to do. We walk and live in obedience unto him and his word. And then because he loves us so much and really wants us with him for eternity, that's why things are done. Now, Then they that gladly received his word, they were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, I told you, that wasn't a small group. 3,000 of them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. They are becoming now the children of God. You see, when you first go to the Lord Jesus Christ, you still, although you're there and he's with you, because he said, if you come honestly and sincerely and ask for forgiveness of your sins, he'll forgive them. But he'll keep his word. But then you've got things you've got to learn. And then the next step is to be baptized. Now, a lot of churches will baptize you the same day, some of them the next day, some of them a week or two later. And I know of one, God help him, I had a young lady listening to me online, listened to me for a long time. She called me one day. She said, Brother Tony, she said, been listening to you, and we know that we need to be baptized. I told her, I said, well, you know this? Then get it done. Well, we don't know where to go to get it done right. I knew of a man where they lived that claimed to be a full gospel preacher. I gave her his name and told her where to go and find him at his church. She went. He told her, he said, yeah, we'll do this Sunday. Sunday rolled around. Her and her husband and her son went to church to be baptized. They got there and they wouldn't baptize them because they told them they needed to be registered. Never heard of that. I ain't found that in the Bible nowhere. She gets back on the phone and she called me. She said, we're going to be trying to get money together and come up there so you can do it. We'd rather you do it anyway. I got talking to Kenny about it. Told Kenny, you know, where they lived and all. Kenny told me, he said, well, we got some money. Go do it. I called him. I told him, I said, you won't have to come here. I'll come there. So me and Libby loaded the car and went to Fort Worth, Texas. And the hotel where we stayed had a swimming pool. It was heated because it was wintertime. And I asked the hotel, if it's all right for me to baptize in the pool, the hotel says, just go right ahead. I baptized them there. The mother, the dad, and the son there in that hotel swimming pool. May the lady come back. Now, a couple more verses will be closing. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. You see, they really came together. And that's something else we're missing in our church. You can be hurt. Most churches you go to, it don't matter if you're hungry or whatever, they're not going to help you. You know that as well as I do. They're not going to do it. And the people in there, they'll even shun you. And yet they had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They sold everything they had and divided it according to what everybody needed. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They was all there in one faith, in one belief. You see, there's not all these different denominations out there. There's only one church. One true church. That's his church. That's the one he's coming for. And breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat. In other words, they were going from house to house teaching and reaching out and having communion at each one of their teaching things. With gladness and singleness of heart. They were all together. And what were they doing? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, that's the way we are to reach people. We are to stand together as the church. We are all to work to bring others in. That's the way we grow. And that's the only way we'll ever grow. We can't sit back and say, well, somebody else will do it, so it'll be all right. I don't have to do it. Somebody else will take it. They'll do it for me. No. You see, that's the wrong attitude. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this evening, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for these times that we can come together to study your word and to share our love with each other, to be there of help, whatever we can do in order to help, Father. You know we don't have a lot, but you know that what we have, Father, we are willing to use it for your purpose and the purpose of helping others that are in need. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them, Father. But even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, the land at one time was set upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, and now has taken him out of every place he was in. They want nothing to do with you, your church, or your people. They have taken our government off of the foundation in which it was founded. Father, we're praying that you'll work with us and help us to remove, come this next election, those that are against your church, against your people, against Jesus. Help us to replace them with those that are for you, for Jesus, and will work with us. And help us to put our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for James, for Kenny, for Dennis, for myself, for Sue, David, Father, our families, our grandkids, our kids and our grandkids, our great-grandkids, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will work within each family, turning them around, bringing them all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can all make heaven their home and none be lost. And Father, be with us now. You know our need. You know that we are in need, Father, of a building so we can grow thereby. You know where it's at. You know where you want us. Now, Father, bring it about. Put us to work. Use us, Father, in mighty and great ways, that we can let this county know that you are still at work today. Your power is still here with your people. You are still in control. And let man see, so that we can have a revival, and that the Lord Jesus Christ can come for his church and not tarry. Help us, Father, to bring the harvest in. You tell us in your word that the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Now, Father, use us. We ask all of this in that sweet and precious name of Jesus. And Father, one more thing. As we prepare to separate to go our own ways, keep us safe. Keep us in health. See to our needs. Bring us all back together again come Thursday evening. So, Father, we praise you. We honor you. We give you all glory. Because it's all yours. And we love you, Father. We love the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done and is doing. We love the Holy Spirit for his work. Now, Father, watch over us through this night and keep them safe as they travel back home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was praying, so I don't know when that cut off.
Well, I took care of it.
I mean, no. Did it cut off before my prayer or after?
After.
I know when I first started, it was still on. This cut off a long time ago.
Yeah.